Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm, baby.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm, let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
We about to win so big. Talking about hydraulic money.
Coming in, tell me what's the program. 25 bags of crush, yeah, get with the program. Shorty want that wave, get the program. Shorty want that wave, what's the program? Throwing through the air, what's the program?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week of Tales from the Terror Dome. This week on the menu, baby, Bison Burgers. Marshall came to town. Fan pops some Blue Chew. Which is kind of funny because my freshman year orientation shirt at Marshall that I still have somewhere in storage says I've got a herd on. So bravo and touche. Anyway, you know, Hokies came out sluggish. It was looking real shitty for a second. I can't lie. They had us in the first half. I'm not going to lie. And then, you know, we handled some business. It was a great weekend. Weather was perfect. It rained a little bit in the morning, but by the time the tailgates were kicking, baby, that weather was flawless. And, might add, Thursday night kicked it off, set the tone. Treaty Oak Revival, Co-Wetzel, in Roanoke, had a blast. Anyway, that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about some Hokies football. And to do that with me, his name is Grayson Wimbish, baby. You know him. You know him. He's here from the West Coast. How you living, my dude?
We're living, man. We're living well, especially with the Hokies win on the books. It's nice to be back in the win column. And I'm telling you, I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,000 more. Coffee tastes better on Monday morning after your team wins. The sun shines brighter. The air is more crisp. And that is all true because, good Lord, Dan, we needed to get the taste of that Vanderbilt loss out of our mouths. And you're right. You're totally right, and we'll talk more about it, but good Lord, dude, in the first half of this game against the Marshall Thundering Herd, things were looking real scary. I'm not going to lie to you. I was not happy. I was hot, man, in the first half. I was ready to call for heads. I was sipping some bourbon in my living room. Just wanted to chill, watch the game, no noise, no disrespect to the L.A., Hokies who were watching at Founders Ale House, but I said, I need to lock in for this one. Don't ask me how work's going. Don't ask me what's going on, you know, with the kids and the wife. I don't want to talk about that right now. I just want to lock in and watch Hokie football. And so that's what I did. But I'm finding that when you watch the games alone in your apartment, you're more inclined to just be active as hell on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it these days. And so I was just rage tweeting. So I apologize for anyone who saw that. But we got the win, and that's what matters. And we are here to talk about it. And as I mentioned on X, actually, I plan on being a recurring guest on this show. Very, very excited about that. So thank you to you, Dan. Let's talk about it, man. I will defer to you. It's good to be back in the saddle.
So what you were saying is you were ranting by yourself. Oh. Ah, you know what I'm saying? A little,
Who's that? Who sings that?
I can't remember. He's dancing with myself. I was a
Billy. Oh, dancing with myself. Yeah. Dancing
with myself.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's exactly. But, right.
So I think they improved the Wi-Fi this year because I was in the East stands and back in the East this year, baby, where we belong. I was in the West last year on the 50 with some senior citizens who were actually a lot of fun to watch the game with. The West gets a bad rap because they don't get as rowdy as the East, but I'm here to tell you they do a great job over there in the West. But we're back in the East, and I had great reception. All texts were coming through. I had access to Twitter, which I don't know if it was a great idea for that, but, you know, I kept it to myself. I think I did tweet at one point, this is insane. Because it was absolutely insane. Defense was schemed up. They were getting after it early. Offense was not matching that energy. But, you know, I think we went into half, like, what, up 10-7. It just wasn't gelling. Kyren wasn't getting blocks. He was running like it was all bad. Minus the defense. The defense looked great. Mansour, Delane bounced back strong, which is what we needed to see. I thought that pass that they called a catch, fumble out of bounds that Dorian defended was called prematurely because I don't think he completed that whole thing. I actually thought it was incomplete. You watched it on television, so you probably, I don't know if you had a better view than me, but you, I mean, I feel like you always see it better on TV sometimes than you do on the field. What were your thoughts on that?
What player are you referring to specifically?
I think Christian Fitzpatrick caught that ball on the sideline. Him and Dorian Strong.
Oh, Delane had that insane catch?
No, not the insane catch, but it was early in the game. Dorian and him were battling for the ball, and then he lost the ball. And then they said he had possession but fumbled it out of bounds, so they called it a catch. Do you remember that?
I do remember that because I tweeted after that or whatever. I posted after that we got to fix those out-of-bounds woes where the ball, like, rolled out because we had that happen against Vanderbilt the week prior. Yeah. I mean, that play was kind of a flash in the pan for me. I didn't really pick up on that at all. But I guess, you know, shout out to Fitzpatrick because that kid had a day and a half. I mean, he was kind of eating our lunch there. And, you know, well, I say eating our lunch. Delane, to his credit, shout out to number four. I mean, talk about a bounce back game from God. I mean, Vanderbilt was not his. I firmly believe, I actually think that was his worst game of his career by far and away. And that's no disrespect. I just think it was. And then to come back it that emphatically and play as well as Delane did, have a day, kid. I mean, was clamps on Fitzpatrick, but he 14 did get one over on him, man, with that insane ESPN top 10 catch that he had. And I mean, shout out to the Marshall Thundering Herd. Delane did kind of get mossed. It is what it is, but
yeah,
hell of a catch. So you know, a buddy of mine chirped me about that. He texted me. He said, "Grayson, we got to talk about that catch." I said, "Bro, who won the game? Look at the scoreboard, dude. I don't give a crap about that. I mean, props to Fitzpatrick, but I mean, who won the football game? Go Hokies. What are we talking about?" So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Exactly. But the pass was defended well.
It was.
He just made it play.
Dude, you know what would have been scary, Dan, is if he had caught that and taken the inside, if he had cut inside on Delane and taken that thing for six, woof. Would have been, we are so lucky that he went out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been, I mean, it was already on the top 10 and all that, but gosh, you would have seen that play everywhere if he had taken that for six. I do real quick. Dan, I just kind of want to break this down with you real quick. First quarter, we had 7 points. Shout out to Jalen Lane, house the punt return, which is great. 7 points. And then in the second quarter, we only have three. We go into halftime, 10-7. In the stadium, what were the emotions? What was the vibe of the fan base after that first half?
There was a lot of, how do I want to say it? Disgruntled people. There were a lot of boos, other fans yelling incoherent things. Yeah, it was not good. It was very much a, we thought we weren't going to see this again type of vibe. And then I guess the, you know, they brought out all the alumni for the Marching Virginians and the Heidi Tidies and had themselves a hell of a halftime show with the band. And I guess that halftime speech was crazy because once again, the Hokies came out in the second half looking like the team we were pretty much promised to see.
Right. Right. I saw some post on X that said, you know, second half Virginia Tech Hokies are a top 25 team.
Yeah.
So the first half Hokies are, you know, outside of the top 100. Good Lord. I think as someone watching it on the CW, that broadcast, for all intents and purposes, it wasn't the worst thing in the world, all right? It wasn't the worst thing in the world. Our lead-in being Jack Hanna's Into the Wild was kind of fascinating. you know, I'm sitting there waiting for tip off and I'm watching Jack Hanna mess around with lemurs in Madagascar. And I'm like, this is not what I expected to see prior to tip off, but you know, that's cool. Okay. I've also seen more posts about this. And as someone who was there, I'm curious. People said that the game day experience was weird. They said that the seat backs in the stands were deplorable and we should have LED lights instead. Shout out Joe Rogers. and they also said that whoever was on the DJ, whoever was on the tunes, was on some other stuff. They said that the whoever was spinning up in the booth was not that great. Any commentary there?
Yeah, it was a little weird. I felt like game day experience got off to a slow start. We were in the parking lot at 9 a.m. cracking beers, ready to rock. But it felt like it was a very tame and docile game day experience up until probably like the last 2 hours, and then it picked up. But that part was weird. They started – the seat backs were, I think, a great idea – initially
on paper,
I got my knees crushed quite a few times, and I'm not a tall man. I'm an average height man. I don't think I qualify as a short king. I guess it depends on who you are, but we will prosper regardless. And I was the dude in front of me just kept leaning back and crushing me, dude, and I was just like, oh my God, this was not a great idea. My buddy Steven had to pee like 8 times, so next time he'll be in the aisle.
Come on, Steven.
You know what I'm saying? Just come on, Steven.
Figure it out, dude. Drink a little less Miller Lite next time.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Booze bag. No, I'm just kidding.
You guys did pizzas at the tailgate?
Yeah, pizzas turned out good. Yeah, I had to, because he did pizza. I let him rock. I let him have his moment. He does a good job with the pizza oven. I held off on the Bennies. You know, I didn't bring them. I didn't bring out the cavalry.
Okay.
But, so they started Sandman too early. Okay. And then when they started Sandman too early, they couldn't restart Sandman. So not only did it start early, but it ran late. Like, they played, like, the whole thing. So, like, there was no, like, a cappella singing. And, like, Sandman was over by the time they did the coin toss, whereas normally we're still singing when they're kicking off, I feel like.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a little wonky. I feel like maybe the stadium DJ just was like, you know what, I'm just going to do what I want to do today. I don't know. But,
I saw people were disgruntled about the lack of a cappella. And, you know, the 65,000 Hokie faithful singing Metallica's Enter Sandman a cappella. There's nothing more beautiful than that. So, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I'm glad that it seems like at least the tailgate was a lot of fun. It seems like the being in Lane Stadium was a bit of a anomaly this past Saturday from what I've seen, but let's look real quick, Dan, at the second half of this game. We come out in the third quarter, Virginia Tech, 2 touchdowns. We kind of, if you have kids listening to this, plug their ears for what I'm about to say. We let our nuts hang with going for it on 4th down with a little pitch outside to Basil Tootin. He walks into the end zone untouched. And then Kyron Drones, a couple drives later, also corner of the end zone, same corner of the end zone, runs it in for 6. And 14 points immediately out of the gate in the third quarter. So the second half, Hokies pop outside and they show them. And so, you know, I was thrilled about that. Like, it looked like a totally different offense from the first half. I mean, offensive line, oh, good Lord, it might be a long season with the offensive line in the trenches. Top to bottom, they did not look good. They, as a matter of fact, they looked really bad again. And that worries me. That worries me as we continue to go. We play ODU, obviously, this weekend. And Rutgers, dude, I don't even want to think about it. We just saw that kickoff time, 3:30 Eastern in Lane Stadium. The stadium will be rocking. But Rutgers, I mean, their defensive line is good. And so based on what I've seen with the offensive line play, I am worried about that game. Hell, I'm worried about ODU. And we'll talk about that. But We wrap out the game, a receiving touchdown to Felton. Love seeing him in the rotation. He didn't really, you know, that was his first score of the season, which is great. I was a little bit perplexed, again, by the lack of targets to not just Felton, but Ollie Jennings as well. But also, that comes back to the offensive line. Drones has barely any time to throw. And so, Bowen kind of makes those halftime adjustments where we see Basil Tootin pounding the rock, really getting loose. And I guess my question, Dan, is like, why aren't we doing that out the gate? I just don't understand the warm-up half. And we can't keep doing this. We can't do it against Old Dominion on the road. This staff has troubles on the road with these early season games. What'd you think of the second half performance by the Hokies?
Well, it was obviously night and day. I feel like it was a lot better. Ollie Jennings not getting the ball was weird to me. Steven Gosnell, man, I got to give him credit. He came on this show in December before the Military Bowl and had brought up the idea that people call him a possession receiver because he catches everything. And he said, I'm more than a possession receiver. I can do it all, and this year I'm going to prove it. And by God, the first two games of the season, this man has been one hell of a weapon. Very versatile. Deep routes, making highlight catches. The only thing that has been consistent from last year to this year is the fact that he's still catching everything, but he looks like an absolute stud out there. And I'm not just saying that because he supports the show and he bought a hoodie. I'm not just saying that. And if you would also like to do the same, at the WSVA, SWVAshop.com, Teradome Collection, go get you some. But, he literally, like, he has made such a difference. And I know, like, we have so many weapons that have returned, and it's like, you can't possibly please everybody because every receiver is always going to want the ball, and we have a bunch of them, and they're good. And then we have a star running back who's a bell cow back that we got to feed. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I understand, like, not every game, like, people, but I feel like Ollie Jennings, like, there's not, like, him being non-existent was crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they should have made it a point maybe to get him involved, get him the ball, scheme him open, do something, you know?
Right. And to that point, Dan, I mean, you have so much talent at the skill positions. I mean, if you look at the numbers, we had 338 yards of total offense. We averaged 4.69 yards per play out of 72 plays, four touchdowns. Maybe you think like we'd have at least one more touchdown with those numbers. But I think going into Old Dominion, I mean, something that I would love to see for petty purposes, I will say, is for Ollie Jennings to be a massive part of the game plan going in there and making his former teammates eat his lunch. So I do want to see that. And shout out, by the way, to the Gosnell brothers. Steven had a great game. He is a modern day Danny Cole, and that is the highest form of praise imaginable. That kid catches everything that you throw his way.
Paper he's got boy.
He's got a little swagger to him. Just the swaggy white boy who catches the ball. Like, and that was who Danny Cole was. And so it's awesome to have the reliable guy like that. And it was funny, man. As soon as Drones put that ball on a string to him, I'm like, oh, he's going to catch it. I wasn't worried for a second. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh, that's Gosnell. Catch. Wraps. Had him burnt.
Sorry not to interrupt you, but it gave me flashbacks a little bit. Speaking of Danny Cole, Tyrod down the sideline to Danny Cole versus Nebraska.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same energy. And if Drones had put it a little bit, I guess what's the term, less in front of him, he might have kept running. I mean, he caught the ball. It set up a touchdown, I believe. Set up a touchdown. And it just kind of makes you wonder. It's kind of like Tyrod again, you know, he puts it out there and the Nebraska defender caught him and that set up the Dyrell Roberts touchdown. What a game. Good Lord. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm thrilled with the win. The first half had me hot. Selfishly, I was, I want to shout out Too Deep, Pete and Sam. I know you were just on their show. I got the call in line from Pete. I texted Pete. I said, I need that call in line. Boy had a couple of beverages of the adult variety. And after the first half, I called it in. Your boy was hot. So I'm curious what I said exactly. And then in the fourth quarter, I called again. I said, was never a doubt. Was never a doubt, you know, gave the first and the second half reactions. So I hope to hear that over there on their show. But Twitter was kind of a cesspool. People were kind of pissed off, but wasn't as an we didn't cover the spread, which I mean, I could have told you that was going to happen. I kind of figured that we were going to be in a bit of a hell game with them. And then in the end, it wasn't as much of a hell game. And I'm glad we didn't give up any garbage time points to them. That was a legitimate concern. And we held them to fourth and we got the turnover. So happy with the win. Always happier when the Hokies win. And as we kind of look to next week, Dan, and obviously you're going to do your preview episode. How are you feeling? Just collectively after what we've seen in week one and week two, as we travel to Norfolk, son of a bitch, again, why, like, are we going there? Make it make sense. It makes none. We're going to Norfolk. Got the Monarchs again. What are your thoughts? How do you feel?
I feel like last year we were struggling. We went to Huntington. We lost to the Herd. The next week, we were on the road again, and that's when we figured it out for the most part. So we just beat Marshall. We're going on the road. Maybe, you know, maybe we got to figure it out. I don't know. I do know that ODU just lost to an ECU team that went in to Norfolk, threw four picks and no touchdowns, and beat them. So I'm feeling pretty good about the Hokies' chances with the way their defense has been playing. That we're gonna, this is gonna be the game that, you know, tilts us into the black. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you gotta have it. You gotta have it. You can't go in there tail tucked. Now I don't give a shit if we've lost there twice in the last 6 years, 7 years. I don't care. You go in there. Don't get stuck in a damn elevator. And go out, you got to be aggressive as hell and smack them in the mouth. Like, nothing would make me happier. Nothing in the world would make me happier than like a 45-10 win over Old Dominion. Like, that would make me so happy. And there really isn't any reason that shouldn't be the case, in my opinion. Regardless of how the offensive line is playing, I don't care, dude. They can't hang with us. We are a more talented team. And so that's really what I want to see. And I'm telling you, dude, I mean, to your point, the defense really did have a great game on Saturday. Dante Lovett, future dog, love the way he was playing. Most Phillips, bright spot. The defensive line, for all things considered, had a pretty good game.
Kelly Lawson.
Yep. We were able to stop the run. Didn't give him a lot in the air. Four was back. Strong had a good game. So the defense was absolutely a bright spot. And it looks like they had made significant steps forward after Vanderbilt, because they had no business giving up 34 points to the Vanderbilt Commodores. I digress. That one still tastes like vinegar.
Yeah.
But you gotta move forward. And to everyone else's, I guess, points and feelings, you know, how does this team regain momentum? You win against Marshall, you win against ODU, and you beat Rutgers at home. Going into Miami, that's how this team regains momentum. So here we are staring down the Monarchs. It's a 1 week at a time game. And so I'm ready to go 1-0 against Old Dominion on Saturday.
Yeah. Also, shout out Caleb Spencer. He played a lot versus Marshall. Transferred from Miami. He came from Miami. And he played very well. It was amazing to watch. Fuga's tackle for loss was emphatic.
Right.
In the back, that was great. Tootin got back on track, you know, 20 carries, 120 yards. A tud, you know, love to see that. Rootin' Tootin, you know.
Tugboat.
Yeah, buddy. But, yeah, man, it was we had an opportunity to probably put 50 on Marshall, but that first half was a struggle. Figured out the second half. I would love to see us go into Norfolk, put 50 on them boys, and then be like, we're never coming back here ever again.
Ever. Like, you know, Mr. Babcock, if you are listening to this podcast, maybe you're not, and who knows? If you ever hear this, never again. We should never go back there, ever. Big boy football programs don't go to Norfolk. Like, Bama wouldn't go there. Texas wouldn't go there. Michigan wouldn't go there. Virginia Tech shouldn't go there. We've paid for it tremendously. We shouldn't have, ever. But big boy, if you want to take this football program and start going in a different direction, you will never go back to Norfolk to play Old Dominion, ever. I feel very strongly about this. And we shouldn't be going to, with all due respect, we shouldn't be going to Marshall. We shouldn't be going to Liberty. We shouldn't be going to these places. It just shouldn't happen. Because that is not what a big boy, serious football program does, with all due respect. So,
yeah, I'm not too mad about the Marshall one. That was kind of a deal. Remember, they bailed us out, gave us that bowl eligibility game. I think that was part of the deal. Yeah,
that's a fair point. But also at the same time, and no disrespect, man, I know you went there. And
give a shit. Go Hokies, baby.
Yeah, it's like go Hokies. But I got no beef with the Marshall Thundering Herd. Their fans are great, and I obviously honor the tradition there. And Frank Loria, Dan, you said that on the most recent podcast, but the point remains the same. The sentiment is the same. You don't go to these not as big programs, to put it right, as nicely as I can. So you go to Norfolk for one last time on Saturday, and you kick their ass. Has to happen. And I want to see in the first half, high intensity, high energy, not this take 40 minutes to buffer stuff, or excuse me, take 30 minutes to buffer stuff. You can't be doing that.
Felt like 40.
It felt like 40. It felt like 40.
Yeah, I was sitting there in the first half, a halftime hits, and I see an alert on my phone that Vito had started up the space, and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
I was in it.
I know. I was like, I'm not doing that. I was like,
I was in it.
I got to stay off the internet. Yeah.
I was heated. Yeah, I need to learn to stay off the internet when the Hokies are playing. It's never good. It's never good. But trying to think of anything else from this past weekend. The new uniforms look sick.
Oh, they look so good, dude.
They look so good, dude. I was looking on TV. I'm like, what year is this? Well, I mean, what year is this? The shade of maroon on TV, chef's kiss. Looked so damn sharp. The old classic logo. And it was cool to see them. They interviewed Coach Beamer talking about the 99 team. And I'm glad to see, you know, as a Tech fan, I hate to see he's walking with the cane. I don't like it. I don't like it. But I understand that's life. But he sounded great.
Had a full head of lettuce, too. Full head of lettuce, baby.
Full head of lettuce. And he was down. He sounded great. Seemed like he was in great spirits, just talking about and reflecting on that team. So to the 1999 team who was there, I hope that they enjoyed themselves. And
they looked happy.
Good.
Yeah.
We honored them the right way this time.
Yeah, with a win.
With a win, as it should be. And I heard that there was a video from Mike Vick.
Yeah, he couldn't be there because Fox started their coverage this weekend for the NFL. Right. So he put a video in. The only complaint I have about the honoring of the 99 team was I thought they were going to do it at halftime, but they did it at like the tail end of a 2.5 minute timeout.
Which was
kind of weird. And it took them like a while to get off the field. I was like, man, are we going to get a penalty for honoring these dudes? Which I wouldn't have cared. Like the 99 team is the GOAT of Virginia Tech, really. But yeah, they had Anthony Lambeau lead the Let's Go Hokies chant. Like it was, Corey Moore was in the building. It was a good day, man. Mike Crawford was there. I saw he posted on Twitter. I'm glad they had a good time. Yeah, it was great.
That's great.
Coach Height, Coach Cav.
Coach Height, Coach Cav, baby. Legends, man. Running back guru and the recruiting guru right there. Shout out to both of them. Yeah. Best.
And Bud. Obviously, and Bud. Yeah.
But other news from in and around college football. Michigan took a nice shellacking from the Texas Longhorns at the Big House on Big Noon Saturday. Nick Saban honored at Bryant-Denny Stadium, now Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium, the greatest to ever do it. And then the Nebraska Cornhuskers put it down on the
college. They're back, dude. Nebraska's back.
Nebraska, man, are outside of their cosplaying quarterback who thinks he's Patrick Mahomes.
It's a little weird, isn't it?
It's a little weird.
He's really good, but it's a little weird.
It's a little weird.
Like, you're good enough to have your own brand.
Like, I've seen comments that said, bro is everybody but himself. So, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, but I was watching, Dan, I know you listened to Bussin' with the Boys with Will Compton and Taylor Lewan. But I saw Will's video that he did saying, go Big Red. And that, dude, that pop when they all said it back. Being at that stadium in 2008 was such a treat. And Nebraska fans, they, like us, deserve a winner. So, man, they were packed to the gills. I love the Cornhuskers, dude. So, dude, I love that they're good. I think they're in the top 25 now.
They are. The Will Compton hype videos that he has done for Nebraska that they aired before the games. I really want, like, I know, like, there's a whole bunch of people out there like, I wish Tech would do this, I wish Tech would do that. I wish we had an alum that we would take that route with those videos. Get me juiced. And I'm not a Nebraska guy whatsoever.
Give me Dax Hollifield with paint across his face.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know, like, it'd be crazy. And then, I mean, other than that, like, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
We love it when the Irish lose. Good Lord. Yeah. When the Irish lose, college football wins.
Luck of the Irish, not on my watch.
And their coach, Northern Illinois coach, said, we didn't need luck. So I think, I mean, that's, you love those moments where the underdog comes out and beats a big fish like that. Especially when it's Notre Dame at home. I know Notre Dame fans are sick this week. I would be inconsolable. You wouldn't be able to tell me a damn thing. So that's kind of it. That's kind of the roundup on college football this weekend. Great week in NFL football. A lot of good games. If you're into that sort of thing. But outside of that, Dan, I mean, that's all I got. I think we covered all the bases in week two.
Yeah, man. Now we're here. ODU.
Well, on to the next. Here
and
we
they
go.
Still got, they got Tacklegate running strong over there because I pulled up the box scores. I was comparing. And their top tackler, 18 tackles, 2 solo tackles. You're telling me that man had 16 assisted tackles. But then you look at the game when they were at South Carolina, where they would be doing a lot of tackling, and it's not even, it's like half. It's like cut in half, legitimately. It's crazy.
ODU out here cooking the books for what? I don't even know. Crazy. Could be so many people. It couldn't be us.
Nope. Can't be us.
On to the next. Y'all, it's going to be an interesting season. We'll see how it goes. Let's go get us one against the Monarchs in Norfolk this Saturday.
Yeah. And you know, if I was talking to the boys, you know, a little maybe what we call terror talk. I don't know. it's workshopped. But if I had to talk to the boys, man, I would just tell them, be like, look, it hasn't started well. It hasn't. Expectations were high. They haven't been met by the ones you put on yourselves and the ones that we put on them. Every home team in this series of ODU has won. We are now up 3-2 in this thing. Let's go to Norfolk. Let's channel that. They robbed us last year. We got stuck in their elevator. Let's 2 years fuck ago. Them up. Yeah. Yep. Let's fuck them up. Pardon my language.
Yeah.
Gotta handle it. Make them pay. Gotta go 4-2 against the Monarchs. That sounds so disgusting. Anyway, all I'm saying is, you know, let's just ball, dude. Go out there. Don't think about it. Just do it.
Don't
whoop
think,
their ass, man.
Whoop their ass. Don't think. Just do it.
Whoop like, their ass.
It is not complicated. This one is not rocket science.
Nope.
This one could be very easy. Like, don't get cute. You don't have to be doing all that. Just go out there, play your game. We got the talent. Like you said, F them up, dude. Yeah, that's all I want to see. F them up.
Yeah. We have dethroned Monarchs before in 1776. So now, in 2024, time to do it again, baby.
I'm going to do it again. Let's go to work. Dan, it's good to be back in the saddle, man. I appreciate you. I'm excited about the rest of the season. Check back in 6 weeks and see how I feel. We'll see. That's no disrespect. That's just the truth. That's what it is to be a Hokie. Yeah, man. Let's go.
Hell yeah. Go Hokies, baby.
Go Hokies.